salvation, you are simply marveling at the fact that he can love you and that he does love you. And then after 20 or 30 years of walking with him, you still marvel at the idea that he can absolutely love us. The longer we know him, the sweeter he grows for us. And with that in mind, would you please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Now, you'll remember that last time we were together, we talked about Genesis chapter 19. And so the most reasonable step after Genesis 19 would be Genesis 20. But we already talked about chapter 20 way at the beginning when we were talking about how Abraham asked that his wife, Sarai, and then Sarah would call herself his sister. So we're skipping chapter 20 because we already dealt with it, and we'll be in chapter 21 this evening. Now, let me tell you about one of the earliest Christmases I can remember. All I wanted was this particular action figure playset that came with this huge castle. It was called Castle Grayskull. And I remember I was a little kid in the early 80s. All I wanted was this Castle Grayskull. And one Christmas, I got that Castle Grayskull. And so when I got back to my grandparents' house from visiting my other grandparents' house, I ran straight to my room and I ignored everyone in my path because now the thing that I was really looking for was mine. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Sarah finally getting what she has been waiting for. And let me ask you, how would you respond? Imagine waiting for a long time for a promise to be kept. Imagine being defined by your long wait and for this great act of mercy. Imagine being the lady that is supposed to have a son, the lady that acted on her own to have someone who she could call her son, all the while longing for the promise to be kept, and finally it was. How would that affect you? Are you the kind of person who would just be so overwhelmed with the great grace of God that you got what you've been asking for that you would just want to share it with everybody? Or are you a sinner like me? And the second you get what you've longed for so long, would your first instinct be to wrap your arms around it and protect it from anyone else? Tonight, we're going to see that Sarah finally gets her son. And immediately, it comes with a cost. Because this son will have no rivals. This son will have no rivals for being the heir of Abraham. And so if her son is going to receive what he will be promised, somebody's got to go. With that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, when you told Abraham that Sarah would have a son, he laughed because such a thing is ridiculous, especially at the age that they were. And when you told Sarah that she would have a son, she laughed because she was long past the time to conceive. And yet, Lord, you had the last laugh. You provided what you promised. And because of that, Sarah will be ever known and ever spoken about with a laugh. Lord, we also thank you that you are the God who hears. And that even though you provided your son, Isaac, the son to Abraham, that there's still a place for Ishmael that you provided for him. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we look at your word. Remember, help us to remember that he will laugh and he will hear. To the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The first section that we'll look at here in Genesis chapter 1 is what I'm calling affectionately the joke's on me. Remember that Sarah heard that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and she thought it was ridiculous. We find this in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah." Literally in Hebrew it says that he visited her. He noticed her. He made mention of her in his heart. And says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time in which God had spoken to him." Now, the first things that I want you to notice is this, that the Lord kept his promise exactly as he promised. He promised that Abraham would be the father of nations. And before you can be the father of nations, plural, you must be the father of a nation, singular. And God said that he would have a legitimate heir from whom countless descendants would come. Now remember that Abraham got a little impatient, even though Abraham is known for his faith. He got impatient, and he and his wife took matters into their own hands, which resulted in the birth of Ishmael. But I want you to remember here in verse 1 that God provides exactly as he promises. He is a God of his word. But not only that, he not only provided exactly as he promised, but notice that he provided exactly when he promised. In verse 2, it says this, "So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age," notice this, "at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." Now remember, they have been waiting for a long time. But God says this, that he provided Isaac exactly when he wanted to provide Isaac. Remember that the God we serve not only keeps his promises exactly, he also keeps his promises according to his own sovereign timing. And what we'll see tonight is that this timing serves to teach us something. The Lord kept his promise exactly as he promised and exactly when he promised. Now notice then in verse 3 where we find this, "Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him." Picking up what's being emphasized here, this is the one that was born to him that Sarah gave birth to. This is the answer to the promise. They named him Isaac, which in Hebrew means he will laugh. Now, why on earth did they name their son he will laugh? Well, it's because when they heard that they would have a legitimate heir, when they heard that they would conceive and give birth at the age of about 100 years old, they laughed. And so now for the rest of his life, Abraham will be reminded of his stumble every time he hears Isaac's name. Aren't you glad we don't name our kids this way? Wouldn't you be afraid of letting your wife pick the name of your child? Wouldn't you be afraid of what might happen? They named their son Isaac. Remember what his name means, and remember that his name was predetermined for a reason, to highlight their lack of faith. Okay. Now notice then that they circumcised Isaac on the eighth day. We find this in verse 4. "Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him." Abraham is showing that great faithfulness that he is known for. And he circumcises his seed on the eighth day, like he was commanded to back in Genesis 17, verses 11 to 12. It says this, "And you shall circumcise in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of a covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations." And he goes on to talk, "even that the foreigners and servants." Now all of this is leading us up then to this key statement. Would you notice with me in verse 5, leading to verse 6 where it says this, "Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Friends, can you imagine dealing with a newborn at 100 years old? 100 years old. That's when Isaac was born. Now notice at verse 6. Sarah said, I love this. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. In verse 6, she says, God has made laughter for me. And the Hebrew word she uses is tzachok. Does that sound familiar? It's the word we get Yitzhak from, Isaac. Sarah says this, the joke is on me. God has made laughter for me. Now, this can mean one of two things. It can mean either that God has now made her laugh with joy because she has her son, or it can mean that God has made me the object of laughter. And we'll talk about as we go which one is more probable. But she says this, the joke is on me. I have a son named, he will laugh. Why? Because I laughed. And that's very important as we go on. What does this mean? Well, it seems to me that Sarah seems to own the fact that she did not think that this was possible. Sarah seems to be laughing at herself. Have you ever laughed at yourself? I do it all the time. Especially when I do boneheaded things, which happens once or twice a year, I'm sure. Right? We laugh at ourselves. But how will Sarah handle it when somebody else laughs at her? How will Sarah handle it when she is the object of mocking? We'll find out. In verse 7, we find this. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. By the way, who did tell Abraham that she would nurse children? God did. But nobody else would take that bet. The joke's on me, she says. And then in verse 8, we find this. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now I want you to take a break here, take a step to the side, and imagine that you're Ishmael. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask to be Abraham's son, but you have been for about 17 years. And now, just like that, you're done. You're yesterday's news. You don't matter anymore. Wouldn't that bother you? Wouldn't that stir within you certain feelings of jealousy? Wouldn't that make you want to mock? Well, notice then verse 9. In verse 8, Isaac is installed as the heir. They weaned him and they made a great feast. How do you think this made Hagar and Ishmael feel? Look with me at verse 9. In verse 9, we find this. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Let's take this verse a couple words at a time, because I want you to see this, beloved. Notice what it says. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Why not call him by name? Why not say, Sarah saw Ishmael? Well, because in her mind and in her heart, he was the son of that woman. He was the son of the woman whom she no longer wanted around. Now remember whose idea it was to have a baby through Hagar. It was Sarah's idea. But now, not only is this woman worthless to Sarah, she is a rival to Sarah. And so the text brings some of that emotion in where it says, the son of that woman, the Egyptian. Notice how it reinforces whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Mocking. Well, in Hebrew, you know what it says? It says, Matzahek. Does that sound familiar? It's from the same root, Zahak, that we get Isaac from. This word means laughing. In fact, the English Standard Version is the only translation that translates it this way, but I think it's best. Sarah saw Hagar, if not her, definitely her son Ishmael, laughing at Isaac. Now, wait a second. Isaac's name means he laughs. And yet we find Ishmael laughing. And Sarah says, you know what? 2 verses ago, or 3 verses ago, I said, God has made me to laugh. So thank you for joining me in this humor. No. When she sees the son of Hagar laughing, her reaction is this: I want that kid gone. I want that kid out of here. I want him gone. Wow. Why? Because he laughed? When you just said a couple of verses ago that now from now on people will laugh, that God has made you an object of laughing, why get rid of him? Well, because Isaac will have no rivals for the inheritance. He will have no rivals for the inheritance. So here's the question. If Sarah knew that Isaac's name meant... Sorry, there's a double, extra, a couple extra words here in the notes. But if Sarah knew that Isaac's name meant he will laugh, and she recognized that God would make her a point of laughter, why didn't she react so strongly? Because Isaac will have no rivals for the inheritance. How did she react? Let's look in verse 10. In verse 10, beloved, we find this. Therefore, she said to Abraham, drive out this maid. Now, come on. Don't you think after all this time and all they've been through, she would use Hagar's name? I mean, after all, Hagar is only in the Bible because Sarah wanted Hagar to be her surrogate. Isn't it true that a few short years before this, Hagar and Sarah shared a son with Abraham? Now she says, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son, Isaac. Isaac will have no rivals for the inheritance. Why? Because there were obvious roots of jealousy that had taken hold. Why? Because now that Isaac was born, Sarah did not want to be reminded of her lack of faith. Now, why would I say this? Do you know why? And I'm guessing here, take this with a grain of salt. One of the reasons perhaps she didn't use Ishmael's name is because of what Ishmael means. Remember what it means? It means God will hear. God will hear. And it's really hard to say, kick this kid out of here, when his name is God will hear. He is a reminder to her that she should have waited for God to keep his promise. God will hear. Why did you stop asking? And she can't take it. I don't want this reminder of my sin. I don't want this reminder of my lack of faith around me. I don't want this second-class citizen who is no longer my son, who is no longer my heir. I don't want him around here. Abraham, get rid of him. Wow. So how did Abraham react? He was sad. Look in verse 11. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Notice how it says it. Ishmael is still his son. And he doesn't want to do it. Now, how can I be so sure of that? Well, I'm so sure of that because in verse 12, God tells him to. Notice what we find here. In verse 12, it says this. Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. Why does God tell him to get rid of Ishmael? It is because Isaac will have no rivals for the inheritance. God says, it's okay. This is part of my plan. Get rid of them. Send them away. Verse 13, and the son of the maid, I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. God says this, I'm not forsaking Ishmael. I'm not punishing Ishmael. I will still bless Ishmael, but he needs to go because you only have one heir. Wow. God said, don't be distressed because Ishmael will be blessed. God said, do what Sarah is telling you. Why? Because through Isaac will come your special descendants. So what did he do? In verse 14, he does this. So Abraham rose up early. Now remember this, because we're going to see this next time we're together talking about this passage. Chapter 22 will be 2 weeks from tonight, I believe. We will see that Abraham has a habit of waking up early when God tells him to do something. Abraham didn't delay. He got up early. He took bread and a skin of water, which doesn't sound like much. And he gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder. And he gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed. And she wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, here's what's important. She's walking away, Hagar is, having been sent away from her husband. And her son's name is He Will Hear. That's important. The next section we find here, starting at the end of verse 14, is what I'm calling simply this: don't let me see the boy die. In verse 15, we find this: when the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. She went about and she sat down opposite him about a bow shot away, for she said, don't let me see the boy die. Now, what did she not do? In this passage, she did not pray. She did not cry out to God. Why? I don't know. But she didn't. Maybe she was jaded because this friend of God, Abraham, just sent her away. We don't know. But there's no water left in the canteen. The bread's gone. They've been wandering in the wilderness, and it's time to die. So she tells her son to sit under a bush in the shade. She goes about a bow shot away because she doesn't want to see him dead. Then Hagar lifted up her voice in absolute and understandable despondency. Because Hagar now has nothing. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have a son. He's about to die. She doesn't have a house. I don't know that she has any possessions at all. She's a slave again. And God, she thinks, has forsaken her. And then, verse 17, we hear that God has not forsaken her. Look with me, beloved, at verse 17. God heard. Now let's just stop right there. You see that? What is Hagar's son's name? Ishmael. What does that mean? God will hear. And he tells us here, God heard. She was walking around with a kid named God will hear, and she forgot to ask. We're like that too. And God heard. Notice what we find in verse 17. God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God, the Malach Elohim, who we talked about in previous lessons, who could very well be a theophany, an appearance of God himself, even a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. We don't know. But the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's the matter with you, Hagar? What's going on? Why would he do this?" Because she has not yet learned the lesson. And what's the lesson? God will hear. God will hear. Ask him. Notice what he says. "Do not fear." Look at this, friends. "For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." The irony of that is too sweet to consider a coincidence. His name is God will hear. And God has heard. Oh, what magnificent grace. What transcendent wonder. "Do not fear," verse 17, "for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Now you got to remember, at this point, they're on the brink of death. They're dehydrated. They don't have any food. They're dying of starvation, dehydration. And then God hears them. And he provides for them in a most wonderful way. Notice what happens. This is great. Verse 19, "Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water." What does that mean? That means the well was there the whole time. And God was not allowing her to see it. And she thought she was going to dry up. And she thought she was going to die because she forgot that God will hear. Then immediately God says, "Water is right in front of you." What's the point? The point is the answer has been right in front of you. Ishmael, God will hear you. Once she knows this, once her eyes are opened to this, her water problems are over. And she knows that God will act for her good. He opens her eyes. And he fills their water skins. Notice what happens here in verse 19. "And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink." Verse 20. "God was with the lad. And he grew, and he lived in the wilderness, and he became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt." Friends, what are we to learn from this? First of all, God is faithful, even though Abraham and Sarah haven't always been. God is faithful to Abraham and Sarah. Just like he's faithful to us. And we're not always faithful to him, are we? In fact, most of the time, we struggle simply to believe and to exercise faith. I don't know if any of us would consider our own lives a great victory song. But God is faithful to us despite all that. God is also faithful to Hagar and Ishmael. Yes, Abraham and Sarah cast them away. Yes, Abraham and Sarah would allow no rivals for their heir. Yes, God himself said that they should do that, but he still provided for Hagar and Ishmael. They were not castaways. They were not garbage to him. And thirdly, God is faithful to us. How many times have we complained, bellyached, about something that was wrong in our lives to find out that the answer was right in front of us the whole time? One more point I think needs to be made. And that is this: just as there is only room for one heir, there is only room for one Lord in our life. Now, I don't want to make this point too casually because it is somewhat allegorical. So let's turn, if you would please, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. So I want you to see that Paul himself made this point, not me. It's not an attempt to be clever. More to the point, it's an attempt to be thorough. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 21, we find this. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. It says this: if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. I'm in the wrong passage. Sorry. Yeah, you're all wrong. No, I am. Sorry, Galatians 4:21. That was a great passage, though. I was getting warmed up for that, but we'll wait that for another time. Galatians 4:21-31. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking. For these women are two covenants, the law and grace. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She's Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. See what he's saying? He's saying there can only be one Lord in our life. It cannot be law and Jesus. If it is Jesus, the law's got to go. Verse 27, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of one who has a husband. And your brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast the bondwoman and her son out, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. You see what Paul says here? Just like Isaac can have no rivals for the inheritance, Jesus must not have any rivals in your heart for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for the somewhat comical nature of waiting to behold a son until you're past 100 years old. And thank you that you still hear us. Thank you that we are not the children of the slave, but of the one who is free. That is to say, we do not belong to the law, we belong to the Lord. Lord, would you teach us these things? Would you draw us closer to you, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Have a great week.